Anyway, let's get back to our Bible study of on these covenants. And we got into this word, the covenant hesed, H-E-S-E-D. That's a special kind of love. That's the agape love of God. And you can't get your mind wrapped around it. But you do need to get your heart wrapped around it. You need to get it in your heart. How much God loves you. You know, in fact, that's what the Bible tells us to do on this side of the cross, is to believe the love that God has for you. Believe that God has mercy for you. You know, a lot of people just have a hard time believing that God loves them unconditionally. You know, and that's from false teaching. You know, there's a lot of people wandering around thinking that if they do everything right, then God's going to love them. If they don't do everything right, then God's going to be mad at them. That's people kind of love. That's not God kind of love. They don't understand covenant love. The hesed that we're talking about is forever. Absolutely forever. When you got born again, you got brought into the family of God, and God poured out a special kind of love on you. The closest thing we can come up with is a mother's love. You know, and that's, you know, a mother's love for her child. You know, that's a special thing. You know, you can, a mama can bring, you know, I'm one of those kids, I was so ugly, only my mama could love me. But I mean, mamas bring these little wrinkled things up, and they're so proud of this baby, and they love that baby to the moon and back. And it takes a little while for them to start coming up with some looks. You know, but mamas, they love them no matter what. No matter how dirty that baby gets, they love them. No matter what kind of trouble that baby gets in, they love them. That's how God loves you. And that baby, you notice, when he starts growing up, something happens, he runs to mama. You know, she's the only one that can fix him. And then somehow we get grown up, and we try to fix ourselves when we should just run to Jesus. He's the only one that can clean us up. He's the only one that can fix us. And I want you to see something in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8. We're talking about this hesed, this mercy, this love of God. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8. Says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord thy Redeemer. That's God. See, he will have mercy on you. Now, if you think that making a mistake will somehow cut you off from the mercy of God, then you need to turn to Psalm chapter 136. Because this psalm fixes that. Psalm 136, verse 8. Psalm 136, the whole Psalm 136. This is like mercy on overdrive. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We've all heard that. Give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 2 says, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 4 says, to him alone who does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. You know, there's 26 verses in that psalm, and it tells us that His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. There's too many people that are running around feeling like they're cut off from God. They don't understand that His mercy endures forever. That whatever they did wrong is not nearly as bad as what Jesus did right. See, there's nothing they did so wrong that the blood of Jesus can't take care of. And there's some people that really think that they've done something so bad that they just can't be forgiven of. You know, and in fact, I dealt with a lot of different people, and sometimes people will get on the right path for a while and they'll be going along and then all of a sudden they'll fall. And they'll get back up and in fact one lady came up to me one time and asked me about her husband, said, "I can't figure out what's wrong with him." I said, "Well, I think there's one secret, one thing in his life that he's done that he thinks he can't be forgiven of." And she looked at me like I slapped her with a wet fish. And she said, "Well, yeah, when he was a kid, him and his brother were swimming, and his brother drowned, and he blamed himself for that." There's a lot of people in those shoes. There's a lot of people that think there's this one thing that they can't be forgiven of. That's the devil. Jesus died on the cross for all of the sins of all of the world. If there was ever one sin that Jesus couldn't take care of, we'd be toast. Because if He couldn't take care of that one, He couldn't take care of any of it. Now, this Hesed lets us know that I will or choose to love and keep you. That's God. He chooses to keep you and love you. Hesed is against natural man's nature. See, a natural man doesn't understand this. You have to be born again. In fact, the Bible tells us that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I knew a guy that was really wanting to be theological, and he wasn't a theologian, but he wrote a great big long letter, a 3-4 page thing on why he got born again, on how much he loved God and why he wanted to be born again and all this. And I thought, you're full of it. You're incapable of loving anybody truly until you do get born again, and then the love of God can come into your heart. You know, if people would be honest, we get born again so we don't have to go to hell. And then we learn all this other stuff that makes us fall more in love with God. When we learn more about how much He loves us, that's good news. That's the gospel. Let's look over to Hosea chapter 2. I think I'm going to go there. Hosea. Chapter 2. No, I don't want to go there. I want to go to Acts chapter 13, verse 33. That's where I want to go. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 33. Verse 32, "We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that He has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that, He raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David, That's agape chesed. The sure mercies of David. Now go to verse 38. That by him all that believe are justified from what? All? Yeah? Or 39. Well, we'll start at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from what? All things. All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, what the works of the flesh could not do, the blood of Jesus did perfectly. I mean, all things. There's nothing. There is nothing that we did in our past that was so horrible that God could not take care of it. Now, we may have to sit and tell ourselves that we're forgiven. It may take a little while. We may have to sit there and meditate on it. And we may have to tell the devil, say, I'm forgiven because the Bible tells us that Jesus forgave me. I am forgiven because the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus washed me of all my sins. I am forgiven. We may have to sit there and tell ourselves that for a while. You know, the devil will work on people for a long time. And that may be what pushes them to the point to get born again. But just because they got born again doesn't mean that they're not still wounded from what the devil did to them. See, this is why it's important for us to meditate on the Word so we can get into us what God did to us. Get His Word into us so it can change us from the inside out. You know, there's a lot of people that are born again that are just kind of running wild, but they haven't gotten the Word in them. If they had gotten the Word in them, then the Holy Spirit could have gotten them into an atmosphere where they can be fed and they could actually grow spiritually. But that doesn't mean He's done with them. Just because they're out there being crazy doesn't mean He's done with them. They're born again. He can still work with them. He can get them to come to the Word. There's a lot of people that grow up in the Word of God and seem to leave, but they're still born again. And then all of a sudden they show back up in church. They may look completely hopeless. I don't know if any of you, I mean, maybe there might be one of you in here that have heard of this guy. Alice Cooper. This guy was a complete wild man and he looked completely hopeless. But he was raised in the Word of God. He stepped way away from the Word of God. And now he's talking about Jesus and redemption. And he's talking about getting people born again. He's talking about the Word of God now. See, the Holy Spirit did not give up on him. The love of God did not give up on him. And God's mercy did not wear out on him. It looked pretty far out there for a while, didn't it? He was out there. But now he's talking about Jesus. See, that's a change. That's a heart change. The Holy Spirit had something to work with, and he got him reeled back in. So don't think that because somebody looks like they're so far out there that nothing can be done for them. The Holy Spirit can do a lot more than what we know. Now, what happened at the new birth, the covenant produced a new spirit in man and shed that chesed, that agape, abroad in our hearts. See, the Bible tells us that's the love of God got shed abroad in our hearts. That's when you got born again. It got somehow the Holy Spirit, who is the minister of the new birth. You know that he's the minister, not the preacher. The Holy Spirit is the minister of the new birth. And somehow, when he got inside of us and changed our hearts, he shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. And it's important for people to know that. The Holy Spirit is a minister of the new birth. Something that's needed for salvation. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. The preacher or you or whoever else does it gets to baptize them in water. But Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We may do a prayer, but it's still Jesus that sends the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got to keep these things straight. Now, one thing about the Holy Spirit, when he got that new life in him that made him capable of being a covenant partner and brother with Jesus, who is in covenant with God. See, we had no capability of having a relationship with Jesus whatsoever until we got born again. We couldn't really do it, but don't fall for this lie that says that God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Because I know he does. And thank God he does, because we were all sinners when we prayed to God to save us, weren't we? And he heard us, and we got saved. Praise God. You're not gonna get born again without God. And he has to hear you. Now, what Abraham established in offering Isaac was the right for God to offer up Jesus. See, God needed a man. He made a covenant with Abram. He needed a man that was willing and obedient to give up his son to be sacrificed. And he needed a son who was willing and obedient to be sacrificed. You know, sometimes people get this picture of Isaac walking up the mountain with this little child. They figure that Isaac was a full-grown 33, 34-year-old man. He was strong enough to overpower Abraham. He had to know something was up, but he was still willing and obedient to let Abraham tie him up on that altar. And Abram actually had the knife in the air when the angel stopped him and said, "Don't lay a hand on the lad." Because Abram and Isaac were willing to do that, that gave God the covenant right to get Jesus here on the cross. See how important covenants are? They lead from one thing to the next. You know, when somebody really understands covenants, they'll understand that covenant that God made with Abram was the ultimate covenant to get us in covenant with Jesus. That was the biggest covenant that ever happened. Now, Hesed is the key to Paul's ministry. See, grace is Paul's way of teaching Hesed. Without agape Hesed, I'm nothing. You know, in all of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he goes through all this stuff. He says, without love, I'm nothing. You know, and you're really not capable of loving a lot of people without the love of God in your heart. You know, that's one of the things, you know, you see people, they go through this challenge all the time. You know, they act like love is a feeling. Love's not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is something that happens because of a covenant. So people, all of a sudden, they just feel like they're not in love with somebody anymore. And they don't understand what love was in the first place. They thought the emotions went away. So they hop from one marriage partner to the next. But nobody ever stopped to teach them. But they never stopped to listen. Now, Paul said that I am what I am by grace. And that's what we are. And the Bible tells us that he takes us from grace to grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, I heard one preacher say that love was the curtain rod for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and said all the gifts of the Holy Spirit hang off of this curtain rod of love. And that kind of makes sense. The faith works by love, and everything else is going to work by faith. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, we can work hard. In the ministry, we can work hard. In the mission field, we can work hard at our work. But if we'll learn to rely on the grace of God, it'll take us a lot farther than any natural talent and hard work that we'll ever put forth when we rely on the grace of God. Then you're going to have to ask him for help. It's okay to ask God for help at work. Did you know that? Unless you run into problems that, you know, I mean, like me, I run into problems that I just can't figure out. Sometimes I just run into challenges like, geez, you know, I'll ask God to help me, and then all of a sudden, there's the answer. But we got to take the time to ask him to help. That's his mercy on us. Second Corinthians chapter 9. I want to go all the way down to verse 6. But the whole chapter is really good, but I want to go all the way down to verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, there he's talking about that grace again. Grace is such an amazing thing. When we rely on grace, see, there's a lot of pressure put on a lot of people to operate by faith. And the Bible does tell us that the just shall live by faith. And that's true. But when you focus on the grace of God, faith is going to happen in your heart. And that faith walk is going to be a whole lot easier. If you're focused on the faith, then you're going to end up focused on your own works. But if you focus on the grace of God, that faith will happen. When you see what Jesus did for you, when you read about what Jesus did for you, when you read what he did in you, and you see him in his grace, that's going to cause that faith to burn in your heart. It'll be a big thing, and it's a wonderful thing. And then you start looking at these challenges as not something that you got to do, but it's something that you get to witness. You know, you get to watch God figure it out, not you. You get to watch God do it, and you help. You get to do some of it, but it's actually, you know, when you get out there and these things get accomplished, you know that it's only God could have pulled it off. Now, the covenant that we've got here is the gospel. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. One thing about the gospel I've learned is everywhere you go, every preacher preaches the gospel. It doesn't matter. You go ask somebody, say, you preach the full gospel? Said, yes, of course I preach the full gospel. I said, oh, good. So you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they just get silent. I thought you preached the full gospel. You preach the full gospel? Of course I preach the full gospel. So you preach the gospel of prosperity, they get silent. Gospel of Jesus Christ is Him crucified. That's the gospel. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached therefore the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's us. We're one of the all the nations. But did you know that God preached the gospel to Abraham? And Abraham believed God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. And when Abraham understood he was in right standing because he had a covenant with God, what happened to him? He got blessed immeasurably. The blessings were just, I don't know how many camels, how many sheep, how many servants he had. I don't know how much money he had, but the Bible says he was very wealthy. And he got a child of promise named Isaac. So he got to be in the lineage of Jesus. Can you imagine what a blessing that would be? That would be incredible, knowing that your child from your loins would someday be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gospel is the power of God. We are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation. See, that's important to understand. The power of God is wrapped up in the gospel. When we preach the gospel, the power of God's there. If you don't preach the gospel, it's not going to be there. The gospel is the power of God. That's how He can take a complete heathen and turn him into a saint. That's how He can take a completely sick man and turn him into a healed man. That's how God, through Jesus, raised the dead, stilled storms, cleansed the lepers, did all these amazing things. God is in the gospel. Now we entered a covenant relationship with His partners. Let's look over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. covenant, always partners in the covenant. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, Paul is telling us, he was counting on these other covenant partners. See, when you get born again, you get brought into the body of Christ. It's him. I cannot wait until this revelation hits the body of Christ. You get baptized into the body of Christ. Not the Baptist church, not the community church, not the Methodist church, not the Catholic church. You get baptized into the body of Christ. When you get born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ. And now the spirit of division has managed to shatter that body of Christ into I don't know how many different denominations. And none of them can get along. They just wait for the next fight, the next argument, the next thing to call somebody wrong. Now look at verse 21 right there. Chapter 1, verse 21. Let me get over there. Says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Did you get that? Paul was making a choice. See, you have a right to stay here on this earth, and you have a right to go to heaven. And there's a lot of people that when they wear their bodies out, and you know they just can't get around, and their bodies are no longer fit to live, and they're trying to go home. You know, they have a home. And it's not this earth suit. They're trying to go home. And then they'll have a whole bunch of Christians that love them a whole bunch here trying to get them to stay. You know, it'll be a good thing once in a while to listen to people. Especially elderly people. A lot of them will say, you know, I'm ready to go home. And then when they wear their earth suit out, what would be wrong with going and saying, hey, it's okay, go home. They get their prize. They get Jesus, everything. They get everything. Instead of we go have prayer chains trying to get them to stay here. And they stay here for a few more miserable months just so we can feel better. It's really important to listen to people. I've listened to people before, and they've talked about going home for a year before they really went downhill. And I wouldn't pray for them to stay. I'd pray for them to take off. Their prize is just that close. It's not a bad thing to leave a wore out body and go be with Jesus. person that's in the aching body. But see, Paul was letting us know we have a choice. We can stay or go. Well, we're going to stop there. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for this wonderful covenant that you put us in when we got born again. And Jesus, our high priest, is the head of this covenant. And he's watching over this to make sure that your will gets done in our lives. And Father, we understand that you need to have some cooperation from us. But thank you that even though we make mistakes, your mercy is new every day for us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.